We're doing Jewish history, and we're up to the year 3338. We're discussing the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And the book Sedra Dorot takes a minute to start discussing different numbers. He says, if you look at the book of Kings, Sifra Melachim, from Shlomo's reign to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash should be 433 years, 9 months and 10 days. He says, in an old book I found that it really comes out to 411 years, 6 months and 10 days. And then he goes into those numbers. The book Jeremiah takes us from the 13th year of the reign Yoshiyahu to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, 41 years, 6 months and 10 days. The first temple, our sages say, stood for 410 years. And then he goes into those numbers, how that works out. He asks a lot of questions. You guys can look at it in here. He goes on and on against different works that said different numbers, and he proves why he thinks differently. I don't think we should spend the time going into all these calculations. Look at it. It's a long, long piece here. He goes into what's the breakdown. We're moving forward. We're up to the year 3339. And Gedaliah ben Achikam is the governor appointed in charge of Judea. And he is murdered together with the Jews that were with him in that year. The Radak writes that Gedaliah was killed on Rosh Hashanah, and because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, the sages made the fast commemorating his murder on the day after Rosh Hashanah, because they couldn't do it on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. But in other works it says, in Seder Olam it writes that he was actually murdered on the 3rd of Tishrei. He was murdered 52 days after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Meaning we have 40 days. We have 30 days. We have 30 days in Elul. Elul, and then the beginning of Tishrei. So you have 32 days. And then from Tisha B'Av through there, so you have another... 21 days. So you end up with 52 days. And that's the numerical value of Gedaliah, 52. The number of days from the destruction to his murder. Yes, sir.
Why is it such a big deal? Why do we fast on that day? Seems like, wouldn't that just be something included in the destruction?
So it says that his murder would mark the end of a Jewish presence in the land of Israel. The destruction was one level of destruction, but you still had Jews living here. With his murder, you entered an era of decades of no real Jewish presence in the land of Israel. So that's one point. And the other point is that tzaddikim being murdered, tzaddikim being killed, is like the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So we commemorate both aspects. The very next year, so we're holding... Okay. He commemorated on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we speak about Yoshiyahu's dying. Right. It's a good question. It would seem that the first part of the answer is what's so substantial. That it was the end of a Jewish presence. We look at the stages of destruction from Asar B'Teves to Shiva Asar B'Tamas, Tisha B'Av, and then Tzom Gedaliah is the end. Bemet, we missed Tzom Gedaliah because it falls out in the Asar Shimei Tshuva, so we're very focused on Tshuva. But really, Tzom Gedaliah is the epitome of the destruction.
Isn't the idea that that didn't take to be to Teshuvah?
Okay. Agreed. Agreed. The question is, there's an element of every fast that's also a weeping over the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It's not only tshuva. So the very next year, after the destruction, Nebuchadnezzar has his dream. It's actually 2 years, because the destruction was in Av, and right afterwards you have the next year, 3339, and then the next year, 3340. That's true. Yeah. That's true. So 2 years after the destruction, maybe it was after Nisan. 2 years after the destruction, no, non-Jewish kings is Tishrei. Jewish kings is Nisan. Yeah. So Nebuchadnezzar has his dream. 2 years after the destruction, it's the 21th year of his reign. Daniel is called Hatach, and he is 14 years old when he enters the chambers of Nebuchadnezzar. He was also called Shesh Batzar. The Medrash says because he saw Shesh Tzarot. Shesh Batzar. He saw six different sorrows. That too. But he's also called Shesh Batzar. I don't remember. I looked up in the Medrash. I don't remember. I don't remember. Gotta look it up. We're up to the year 3342. Nebuchadnezzar is in the 23rd year of his reign. And at that point, Nebuchadnezzar exiles 745 people, as it says in Yirmiyahu. So that those are the Jews around Israel. Those in Ammon and Moab, all around Israel. So he exiles them. According to one opinion, he doesn't actually do it. The people of Tzor, Tyre, help him out to deal with those Jews around there. Means the geographic location of Ammon and Moab. We move forward to the year 3346. Nebuchadnezzar is king for 27 years. And he conquers Egypt. And that's the discussion in Halacha, whether Egypt still exists, whether Mitzrayim still exists. So he captures all their wealth, and that's what the Navi Yechezkel says, that this will be payback for Nebuchadnezzar over his great work. And that's when Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah are exiled into Babylon. So remember, Yirmiyahu was forced to go down to Mitzrayim. So now that Nebuchadnezzar captures Mitzrayim, he takes Yirmiyahu with his disciple Baruch ben Neriah out into Bavel. Yes?
Yirmiyahu was also
right. I was waiting for you to ask that. Yes. There is an opinion, the Shaar HaKedusha writes, that when they were captured, so Nebuchadnezzar took them, took Yirmiyahu, Baruch, and the other Jews that he captured from the countries around Israel, he took them to Alexandria. And they stayed there for many years, and they developed a shul there, which became like their little temple. And they became very wealthy and had a lot of kids in honor. So that's different opinions as to what happened. No. Later on. That what?
The one where
I don't remember. Could be. I don't remember. Lozche. I'm remembering vaguely. I don't remember. So, we're up to the story. 3,350. Baruch ben Neriah receives a tradition from Yirmiyahu. We know he's the prime disciple. Baruch is going to pass away in Bavel. Ezra won't leave Bavel until Baruch passes away. He's the one that's referred to in the Navi as Eved Melech HaKushi. He's the one who took Yirmiyahu out of the tar pit. And according to one opinion in the Medrash, he walked into the Garden of Eden alive. He was one of the few people who walked into the Garden of Eden alive, that he never died.
Ezra?
No, Eved Melech HaKushi, Baruch ben Neriah. Yes. Now, there's a story here about a Jew whose name was Rav Shlomo, that the king said to him, come with me, I want to open the grave of Yechezkel, the prophet. I heard he did many miracles, I want to see him. And the Jew said, Chas v'shalom, you can't take him out and see him, but I'll tell you, not far is Baruch ben Neriah. Yechezkel is very far, but his disciple was Baruch ben Neriah, and he was also a Navi. If that's what the story goes, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't remember that.
He was.
I don't remember. So he said, if you'll be able to see him, then you'll also see his Rebbe. So the king said, good idea. And he ordered his nobles to come and go with him to see the Navi Baruch ben Neriah. And they went to start opening the grave. And this is where we'll pick up, Ezrat Hashem, next time.